But I just wanted to start with a message today about your hair. And it's the name of the message is called Not One Hair of Yours Will Perish. And if you look around, just look around the room right now, and you could see there are all kinds of hair here. I'm not pointing any fingers or trying to isolate anyone. Some have more interesting hair than others. Some have longer hair than others. And praise God, we have no hairless people in the room, which is amazing. Usually you hang out and you've got people that just for some reason just take it all off. And but Jesus said, and Paul said it, there's various places that I want to point this out to you today, and I want to focus on the place that it happened in the book of Acts and with a ship. So turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read the story of the worst shipwreck, okay, what I call the cruise of a lifetime. Amen? Cruise of a lifetime. Paul had a cruise of a lifetime. He happened to be prisoner at the time. But then again, you might know somebody who went on a cruise of a lifetime just not that long ago where they got stuck on the cruise ship because of COVID and they couldn't get off, right? There were people like that. So they had a cruise of a lifetime. And actually, I'm praying that the cruise industry doesn't go away. So I'm going to start with this cruise here. And verse 6, actually. So we're going to, the centurion was the man who was in charge. He found a ship at Alexandria sailing for Italy, and they put you on board. They sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. As the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee, okay, that's a good nautical term, of Crete off of Salome. Coasting along with difficulty. Notice we've got some tough going on already. We came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Now, that name Fair Havens was a major hint that they should have listened to, but they didn't. If you got a place called Fair Havens and you're there and you've been having a hard time, maybe you should think about staying at that place, because it means Fair Havens means a nice place to stay, but they didn't. Okay, so Paul gets up and makes a comment. Now this, and he says this, sir, or I perceive that the voyage, and when he says sirs, he's referring to the people above him in command. And that was a term we used, sir or lord or whatever. I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So Paul's an apostle. And when Paul makes that comment, he's not saying that as a mariner, and maybe he was. He traveled a lot. Paul was not a poor man. He came from a very wealthy family and a very prominent family in the major capital of a region of the Roman Empire called Tarsus. So he knew there was going to be a problem, and no one paid him attention. Notice, and I call this how to get in trouble right here. We've got four or five ways how to really get in trouble. Is number one, don't listen to what the Apostle Paul's got to say. Okay, that's the first thing I could tell you. If God wants to tell you something, a lot of times we don't listen. So who listened to who? Well, the centurion paid more attention to the pilot. So you have a centurion, you have a pilot, and he paid more attention to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. So sometimes people pay more attention to the powerful, right? The centurion was the powerful man. So you could miss God and get into a storm by going with the powerful. You could miss God by going with a humanly skillful person. He paid more attention to the pilot. Okay. Then sometimes you can miss God by thinking that you're following somebody who's an expert, but they're not really an expert. And experts can be wrong. And then you can also pay attention to the money man who the owner is. So don't let money steer you off. Don't let so-called expertise steer you off. And don't let the powerful stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. But then look at verse 12. The last and often most difficult way to miss God. The majority decided. The majority decided. Look at that. You see that verse? Did you get it? It's in verse 12. The worst way to miss God is to let the group decide. Well, I'll just do what everybody else wants to do. That'll get you into a fix. That'll get you on the cruise of your life. How many do not want to get on the cruise of their life? I don't. I don't want to get on the cruise of my life. But if I pay attention to the majority sometimes, the majority sometimes is way wrong. And that accounts for America and the election. You got to hear me sometimes. All right? Sometimes the group will miss it. And it's interesting. I'll give you a quick little civics lesson. But our country is not a democracy. It's a republic for a reason. A democracy means majority rules. But a mob can take control. And we could see that too. That's why we are called a republic. And we are not a democracy. Dave can tell you more about it. Just ask Dave. Dave knows history better than I do. Okay? Praise God for that. So don't allow those things to cause you to get into the cruise of your life. Amen? Because God's got plans for your hair. Come on, say to your neighbor right now, God's got plans for your hair. He's not going to let a single one. Now, some people's hair is longer than others, so God's got to work a little harder to take care of that. And not one hair is going to perish. I want you to see one more thing that I thought was really interesting. They hit the storm, and a tempestuous wind called a nor'easter. And we get nor'easters here, by the way, and they are the worst kind of storms to come on our East Coast. When the storms come from the West, that's the usual kind of storm, especially snowstorms. When they come in from the West, they're not so bad. But when you get a storm from the East, it can be really bad because that storm is off the coast and it's pumping the moisture right into us. And that's why they can be so bad. So be careful. Now, I don't know what it is in the Mediterranean. So they ran under that. They came under the storm. And I want you to look at verse 20 real quick. They were not having a good day. Actually, it took 3 days in the storm. But I want you to look at verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Now, that is a tough place to be. Now, if you think about it, if you're a mariner, there's no such thing as landmarks, right? You can't just say, oh, you know, around here, when I first moved down here, I have to talk now, I got to say it. When I first moved down here, I had to learn people did not use street names. They used landmarks. That's just the way Henry County is all about. So they tell you, well, go back to where that old store. And sometimes it was a store that used to be open that they tell you to go by. It was like the Hope store that used to be Spencer's. And I was like, okay, yeah. So they would give you directions by landmarks, which means if you didn't have a picture, I'm a visual person. If I don't have a mental picture, it's really hard. It's like sending me into the dark. Am I right? Yeah, right? Okay. Well, if you're a mariner, you have zero landmarks. You can't say, well, you know, turn left by the tire. You know that stack of tires on the side of the road? You know, that's the place you turn. And I'm like, what? Okay. Well, there's nothing there. So, so all they had to rely on was the stars. All they had to rely on was the stars. Now, I want you to see also the spiritual side of this, Okay? I want you to see the spiritual side of this. That boat was full of heathen. That boat was full of people that worshiped the stars. There were people that worshiped the sun, Helios. There were people that worshiped the moon. They all had names. And we find out later, there was 276 of them aboard. One person who was a believer in the Lord. And all of them believed in various gods. They were all stars. And a lot of these gods were named by stars. And so all of that was wiped off. They had no hope. They had no way to access their faith in the gods of the world, okay? So I want you to see that angle. I feel like Luke put that in there for a reason. Because sometimes people won't come to the one true God until the storm wipes out their way of seeing all the other gods. All right, we'll see that later too in the story. Since they had been without food for a long time. That's a long time, guys. It was just 3 days before the storm was really going, so we don't even know at this point how many days it was. All Luke said was many. Many days. And I think he didn't say how many days in some ways because it's a story that God wants us to remember. It doesn't really matter because for some people, many days may be years before they finally get through their storm. And their hope is lost and they finally come to a place where they have to cry out. And this is what happens. But here's the key here. It says, Paul stood up among them and said this. It's all of us. You should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. So in other words, and I want to show you the parallel. The parallel here in the story is this. God, I don't care how old you are, God promises that every single person on the face of the earth has heard God speak to them sometime in their life. That's very, very important to understand the ways of God. But Psalm 19 says the heavens are telling the glory of God, and it says that his word has gone forth throughout the world. So God it's a very strong foundational principle in the Lord, in my nature. My God loves people so much that he cannot and he will not speak, keep be silent. There isn't a single person on the face of the earth that has not heard God speak to them somewhere along the line. So don't ever go to that place of thinking that somehow somebody died or someone had something happen to them and God never spoke to them. Paul makes that very clear. Jesus makes that very clear. The Gospels, the Psalms, all the way from the very beginning, we all have heard God speak to us. The problem is we just didn't pay attention. So it's not God's fault. You can't blame God. And you should never try because he's a whole lot bigger than us. Anyway, and I can tell you this. I remember times before I really knew Jesus, growing up, there were times God was speaking to me, and I didn't listen. I'm just being honest. And I can look back and see that. Now, there was a point in time when God got through to me, and I started listening to him. And I was really glad, because it changed my life. And my life was never the same afterwards. But I remember times when God did good things for me before I came to that point and I said, Jesus, you're my Lord. I remember one time I was driving down. We have a place where I grew up called Old Country Road. And it's the main thoroughfare that takes you all the way through Long Island, because Long Island was the country back then. New York City was the city. Long Island was the country. So you went to the island, you went out. I mean, my town was placed on a potato farm, okay? So that's how my dad's house was built, on a potato patch. So the road that came through was called Old Country Road. And Old Country Road spoke off on something called Minetta Hill Road. So that almost sounds like something you'd hear here, you know, hills and roads. Well, right on the corner one time, I must have been 8 or 9 years old, I was riding my bike, and I was coming around the corner, and because I hit a pot or something, I started falling to the left into the road, and a car was coming behind me. So I'm like this, falling into the road, and I feel a force or a hand on the bottom of me push me back up over the other side out of the road. I never forgot that. God will speak to you, and he'll work in your life, and you pay attention. Now, did it turn my life towards the Lord? Did I have a revolution in my life? No. I'll never forget it, but it didn't really, it was a witness to me. But it wasn't the point in time when I really listened to God. But it made an impression. So it's important to see that all of us bear the responsibility. Every person you talk to has been spoken to by God somewhere along the line. They just didn't either recognize the Lord, or they just didn't want to hear it, what God had to say, because it just, okay? Very important. All right, I'm going to move on. Praise God. So, he says this, "Yet now I urge you to take heart." Now, they had no hope. "For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I worship." Now, why did Paul say, "I saw an angel stand before me"? Why was it important? Why couldn't the Holy Spirit just say to him, "Paul, you're going to be okay"? Why wasn't it that way? Why did God choose to send an angel? Because, I'm going to give you the answer. People of the world who follow other gods, okay, that often is represented in the form of human beings or like angels. So a person who did not know the Lord can relate to an angel much more than they can just relate to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? If you said the Holy Spirit told me, to a person who did not know Jesus or did not understand God, they would go, "Oh, what's that? What's Holy Spirit? I don't get that." Now, I know angels. I know the guys with the wings. I get that. Or I get little, what do they call those? Sprites. I get all the different forms of, if you talk about the different categories of gods that people in the world worship, you'll see they have all different kinds of forms. Okay? And so God chose a specific form to reveal to Paul, so when Paul gave his witness, they could relate to it. That's really important. So God will deal with you in different ways. He said, "This very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I worship." So I'm his. I'm his property. I worship him. This was his way of relating to these people. And he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you." This is an amazing statement. By that very statement, he said this: God loves everyone so much. He cares about you. See, so much that he's going to save everybody on the boat just because of you. but also because he really loves them. I want you to see this. The mentality of the day was, God loves me, and too bad for you, buddy. I'm living the good life in the kingdom. You know, there's this attitude religious people can have. That's kind of like, I'm great, I'm going to heaven, the rest of you go to hell. You know what I mean? And then there's no, like, no caring. There's no heart, there's no compassion. And God is saying to Paul, through Paul, to them, God really loves you a whole lot. And your lives really matter to me. That's one thing that the Lord wants to communicate to people, especially when they're doing bad stuff. That God really loves them. So much so that he's going to send an angel to take care of it. Praise God. Amen. I hope you're dancing inside. I want to dance outside, but that's okay. You can dance inside. Okay, so take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be. Oh, this is the gospel right here. I have faith. I have faith. Number one, this is how I worship God. I worship God because I have faith in God that he will do exactly as his word says. Come on, he's a word preacher, the Apostle Paul. He's a man of his word. He is a guy that's, and this is the gospel right there. I have faith that God will do exactly what he says he will. Gosh, it's in his word. He said it, it's going to happen. But we're going to run aground. So God gave him a prophetic word of what was going to happen to the ship. But the prophetic word also said what's going to happen to them. So the 14th night came. 14 nights without the sun or the stars or the moon or nothing. 14 nights after that word from Paul. They had time to think about it. Can you say amen to that? They had some time to think. 14, 7 times 2. That's 2 weeks, baby. 2 weeks of being on a ship, tossed and turned. You've already retched out your guts, by the way. I mean, they're already, like, they're just, okay? We were on one cruise ship, and it wasn't rocking that much, and people were running down the halls, throwing up big time. I'm serious. It didn't seem to affect me so bad. But has anybody ever seen that? I've seen it. It's like you're going, oh, my goodness. And you're like, okay, this is a fun cruise here. You really want to get to the first port. So it was not pretty. I mean, this is like way worse. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, we're on a cruise ship and it's doing a little like this and people are retching. Can you imagine like a boat, a wooden boat? A little one. So they were praying for the day to come in verse 29. And then they were going to lower the ship's boat. Now, what they mean by that is the rescue boat, right? So they were going to lower the rescue boat and flee. Now, I just think that's really stupid, by the way, because think about it. Think of a bigger boat that's going to sink, and then you just say, okay, I don't want to get in a bigger boat that's sinking. I'd rather be in a little boat in a storm. Now, what would you rather be in a storm, a big boat or a little boat? Probably a big boat. I mean, that means like little boat, like woo, woo, big boat, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, no. But maybe they were thinking like, so Paul said, no, you guys got to stay. Now, I'm trying to apply some of this as we go along. So unless these men stay in the ship, you can't be saved. He told the centurion. Centurion, you're going to die, buddy. You're the boss. If these guys leave, you're going to lose your life. And centurion said, I want to live. I believe you, Paul. These guys are staying. And I'm sure he explained it to them with his broadsword. you're going to stay. And they probably listened. Okay? So today, Paul says, it's the 14th day that you have continued in suspense. Now, here we go. Here's the heart of it right here. I want to get this word, in suspense and without food, taking nothing. All right? I want to stay here a little bit, okay? I urge you, take food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. Here we are. So here we are, right at the heart. People can live their lives in suspense. And I think it's really an interesting word, this in suspense, because it means that you're constantly in turmoil. You're constantly looking for something on the edge of your seat. You're not settled. You're not peaceful. And you're not eating. You're starving. And this is what it's interesting to me, because Paul said this, you're not taking the nourishment that's already there for you on the ship, because you're just all worked up over this thing. And I think this applies to Christians and future Christians, present Christians and future Christians. God has a ship full of wheat for you. A ship full of wheat. That boat was full of wheat. It was full of food for them. But they wouldn't eat it because of the storm. And it wasn't that they couldn't eat it because of the storm. They wouldn't eat it because they were in suspense all the time. They were so worked up. They were so uptight. They were so anxious. They were so this or that. What am I going to do? They had no hope. They couldn't look at the stars. They couldn't use their normal ways of dealing with life. And yet God had a ship full of food that they couldn't, that they wouldn't take. And that sounds funny, a ship full. Okay, but be careful. Be careful how you say things. It says that you wouldn't take it. And I want to talk to Christians too, because God has a boatload, that's better. God has a boatload of provision for you. A boatload. That people aren't taking. And I would say that is the biggest challenge facing Christians today and American Christians. We are satisfied with the storm, and not, you know, we're fasting when God wants us to be feasting. God wants us to feast on the boatload of wheat that's there. Eat something. Eat something. Don't abandon the ship. God has a boatload of food for you, wheat for you. So much so that when you eat, all of you can eat. It says that they ate. It says it right here. In verse 25, it says, when he said these things, he took bread and, giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. He celebrated the Lord's table with 276 heathen. 276 people that did not know God from the shipboards. You know what I mean? They thought there were like little nymphs dancing around, or some guy flying, and you know what I mean? Zeus with a lightning bolt, or whoever the names of the Greek gods were. They didn't know God, and yet he does communion with them. Because he broke the bread with them. It says it right there. It says he gave thanks. He took bread in the presence of all, and he began to eat and said, hey, buddy, I've got some food. I am breaking this fast. I am not going to be in suspense. I am going to live my life of faith, and I'm going to access everything that God has for me. I am not going to ignore it. I'm going to eat it. I am not going to walk in suspense and anxiety and worry and fretting. I'm not going to put religious language on anxiety. I'm not going to put religious language on acting bad. I'm just going to do what God wants for me to do. It's time to break the bread. It's time to eat. It's time to get what God has for you, because it's by faith that we live. It's by faith that we live. We don't live by the stars. We don't live by flying little sprites. We live by faith in God. And God will send angels to help us. Amen. You know, God will send angels to help us. And not one hair of your head, you're going to perish. Now, I think that is a most amazing expression. Not one hair is going to be lost. Now, I learned a few things in my life, and one of the first things I learned is that hair gets everywhere. And when I got married, it's true, it just gets everywhere. Like when I run the vacuum cleaner in my house, I've got blondes in my house, okay? I have brown hair. So I know the difference between brown and blonde, okay? So I run the vacuum cleaner, and I don't see anything on the floor. Now, my vision's not bad. I don't see it on the floor, but then when I run the vacuum cleaner, inside the tank of the vacuum cleaner is full of blonde hair. It's like, where was all this hair? Some of it longer, some of it shorter, and of course we have a dog with red hair. It amazes me the amount of hair that we put off. I imagine some nerd somewhere has figured out how much hair you generate per pound over a lifetime. Someone knows. I don't know. But if you find out, tell me. I'd love to find out. It's a huge amount. And so, like, every time, it doesn't matter where I vacuum. It doesn't matter if it's a wood floor or carpet. That thing is full of hair. So to say that you won't lose your hair is saying the most unnatural, crazy thing that you could possibly say. It's designed to shock you because, as we all know, I mean, even with a hairbrush on your sink, well, I brush my hair in my bathroom in front of my sink. It's just, for some reason, I brush my hair, and then, like, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like, where'd all that hair come from? It's in the brush, you know? Clean the brush out, John, right? Clean the brush out. So for God to say not one hair of your head is going to perish, that means you are going to be in a supernatural protection that is not like this world. If God were to hold on to every one of your hair, that's a total miracle. That's a total miracle. I mean, every detective knows that you can pretty much find a hair at the crime scene and get your income. If you like detective shows like I do, right? They're going to get your DNA just by one of your hair there. But God will so protect you that you won't lose a single little hair. And this was not a New Testament concept. Did you know this goes all the way back thousands of years? And I'm going to give you the scripture, but I don't think we're going to go there because I'm having too much fun here in Acts 27. But I'm going to give you the scripture and just look it up sometime. I'm just going to tell you about it, okay? It's the story in 1 Samuel 14, verse 27, because I think it's interesting how this ties in. Paul says, not one hair is going to be lost. Obviously, that was a euphemism for complete and total safety. But that was a term that went back thousands of years, and it was used referring to Jonathan, the son of Saul. Because Jonathan was fighting a battle against the Philistines, and his father rashly made an oath and said, nobody is supposed to eat until the battle's done. Jonathan didn't hear his father, and he went ahead And he was going along, and he was hungry, fighting. He didn't have his little meal pack with him, right? He saw honey dropping from above. And he stuck his staff out, and he ate the honey, and the Bible says his eyes lit up. Here's the point. His father, his very own father, was going to kill him for breaking the oath. And the people rose up and said, no, not one hair of his head is going to be lost. He had a sentence of death through a great tragedy. Not one hair of Jonathan's head is going to be lost. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. All right, so I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish this message right here. When they finished this voyage, and exactly what Paul said happened, they arrived at a town or an island called what we now know as Malta. Back then it was called Miletus. The name Malta means honey. Honey. So there is some sweetness that God has for you and for me. He wants to bring you from the storm to eating the sweet things. But in order to get to Malta, you have to eat the wheat that's you got a boatload of. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you and I have a boatload of bread that God has for us. Turn to your neighbor, and I want you to preach to him. Amen. And when we get through this voyage, we're going to have some honey. We're going to have some sweetness waiting for us. Now, again, no accidents. I don't think God knows how to put things in Scripture that just shock me. When I saw the name Malta meaning honey, I just started laughing. It's just so God. Because the only Old Testament reference about a hair not being damaged had to do with a man who ate honey. So you don't think maybe the Holy Spirit and Luke knew that when he told the story and how it happened to work out that way? I think God knew. There's a sweetness that the Lord wants to bring us to. But you have to listen. God's been speaking. Listen. And eat the bread. Stop your stupid fasting. I'd say it like that. But stop it. Stop the suspense in your life. Well, I'll really accept Jesus. Or I'll really do what God says. And you always put it off. Always put it off. Put it off. Put it off. Stop it. Say, Lord, I'm going to make the simple thing. This God I have faith in, and I worship him. It's that simple. It's that simple. Take the bread. David, would you help me, please? I'm going to read out of Acts 27 on a ship how to have communion. How many of you have ever had that scripture quoted when you had communion before? I've never done it. You're the first ones. Yeah, when Jesus said, he says he took the bread, and you can go ahead and demonstrate. Take the bread and break it. It's already been broken. Okay, there it is. Go ahead and break it for everybody. There's the snap. Did you hear it? He broke it. And it says that he gave thanks to God. So here's what I want you to do. Dave's going to pass it to you. And I'd like you to, in faith, thank God out loud or inside your heart. Whether just thank him when you eat it. Do it right now. Just thank the Lord and eat it. And you don't have to wait. Just go ahead. Just go ahead and do it whenever you're ready. You can do be the first one to do it or the last one to do it. But go ahead and take the bread. Break it, thank God for it, and say, Lord, Just go ahead. And then Dave, you can give me and I'll be the one. So Paul did it. And those of you at home, she needs to go ahead and break that bread, girl, and eat it. You're not fasting today, Heidi. And I know you got good food, too. Same thing, B. Amen. So just take it in faith and say, Lord God, I believe you. I have faith in you, God, and I thank you for your provision. I have got a boatload of bread. I have got a boatload of wheat. I can have as much bread because, God, you made provision in Jesus for me, because not one hair of my head is going to be lost. I'm sorry. I had a sentence of death on me, and I'm not going to die because there was one who already died for me. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I take my piece of bread. Dave, you get yours. And I break my little piece. And I thank you for it. Thank you for it, the broken bread. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that we in this room will be breaking bread on a boat full of scared sailors. Come on now. Scared people. People who don't know, who've never had faith in God. And that we can say, hey, let's have some bread together. Let me tell you about how much, and then ask people. You know, a lot of times if you ask people how God's spoken to them, and they don't confess, they don't identify as a Christian, and you ask them how God's spoken to them, and they'll tell you too. God's already spoken to them. We just need to listen. And then, of course, we got the cup here. Paul didn't talk about the cup in this passage, but I'm going to let you all get the cup, and then we're going to hold it up and thank God for it too, because it says he blessed it and gave thanks for it. Amen. 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 We're believing God for that young lady that you're witnessing to, Lynn. Amen. God's speaking. Amen. No hair loss for your storm. No hair loss. Amen. The ultimate hair care product, salvation. Praise God. That's good. Amen. And there's some other scriptures about not losing anything. I will say with this before we drink together, I'm going to quote you one scripture, and then Dave's almost ready. Thank you, Dave. You can put it right over here. Oh, that's right. You got it switched. Okay, very good. Okay. John 3:16, scripture we can almost all say. Maybe we can. Scripture I got saved on. Never thought that'd be the last scripture I thought I ever would have gotten saved on. Okay, but perish and hair loss, same thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's just saying God's going to save you so much that not even one hair is going to be missing when you get to heaven. Praise God. Can we give thanks for that? Come on. Amen. For God did not come into the world. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. Come on now. That's the next verse, John 3:17. But that through him all people might be saved. That's why he came.